Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of your mouth be our daily bread, and may the leading of your Spirit become our way. In Jesus' name, amen. A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. I invite you to listen for the word of God. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to fill it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Now a reading from the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of God. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to the condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So a reading now from the Gospel according to Matthew as we begin this season of Lent.
"Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the writers of the lectionary, which is an exposition of the scriptures over a three-year period, always try to tie in the reading of the psalm, the Old Testament, the epistles, and the gospels they try to weave them so that they make sense, so that we move from the Old Testament into the New Testament. So at the beginning, Lynn read literally from the first book in the Bible, the creation story, or one of the creation stories. To talk about what the church has come to call, in essence, the original sin. That's a whole other sermon, which unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for you, I'm not going to preach. But then there's Paul's entire exposition of here's what took place in the past, and here's what's taking place in Jesus Christ. So, you know, here's the difference, right? Here is where we were, and through Christ, here is where we are and where we can be. And then the Gospels really is telling a story. It's telling the story of how this all started, how this all began, Jesus' journey into the wilderness. And that's really what I wanted to focus on today. So think about it. 40 days, 40 nights. That's a long time. You know, we just sort of trip over that sentence. Yeah, he was in the desert for 40 days. But I want you to think about those 40 days and 40 nights to be by yourself. Now, can you even begin this imagining by remembering any time in your life where you were alone for 40 days and 40 nights? I mean alone, right? Alone. That means you're not going out for lunch. You might be by yourself, but then you're going out for lunch and there's a whole bunch of people in the diner. I mean alone for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, some of you may be thinking, maybe even particularly parents, boy, what I wouldn't give to be able to be 40 days and 40 nights, right? Away from work, away from the kids, or maybe away from school. But again, I'm challenging you to let that sink in, all alone for 40 days and 40 nights. Not only that, but in the desert, right? I think being alone is one of the hardest things that we do as human beings, even the most introverted of us. And I think for most, it's also one of the most frightening things that we do. You might enjoy it for a little while. Being alone serves as a kind of retreat from the world and its pressures. I do it. I go up to a cabin and I stay by myself, and it gives me a time to renew myself. And that might be good for a few days or maybe for a week, maybe even two, but 40 days completely alone. So let's take away all the distractions. No Wi-Fi, no internet, no Facebook, which is why my grandkids won't go with me to the cabin, by the way. No radio, no books, alone for 40 days, 40 nights. Then I think the experience of being alone begins to turn upon itself. And sooner or later, if we're honest with ourselves, we begin to face our fears, as I was telling the kids. We begin to face ourselves. we begin to face our deepest selves, and we begin to ask hard questions about what we're afraid of, about who we are, about what the meaning of life is, about what we believe. I've always wondered what Jesus did for 40 days and nights in the wilderness. He's still dripping wet, according to the Gospels, from his baptism in the Jordan by John, when he's immersed by the Spirit of God into the desert wilderness, immersed into his vision quest, immersed into being totally alone. Now, of course, we know that Matthew is an editor of the Gospels account, and it's rich with traditional symbolic cues for the reader or the hearer to take notice. Water has always been a sign of a rite of passage for Israel, right? The Israelites passed through the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds as they escaped slavery and bondage of Egypt. The great Hebrew prophets and leaders all had their encounters with water, crossing over rivers, etc. And then number 40, of course, is significant. The Exodus lasted for 40 years. The water, number 40, the Spirit of God, the desert wilderness, all are sort of literary tools that Matthew uses to bring a certain significance of this particular time, but also for this particular time in Jesus' life, a connection of the Old Testament with what is now new. But what happened to him? What happened to Jesus in the wilderness? At the most fundamental level, he was tested as he faced himself and his fears. At a deeper level, he encountered God in the wilderness, and he was changed, completely changed by that loving encounter. He could no longer see himself or look at the world in the same way. He began to know his purpose, his essence, and he began to see the world through the eyes of God. Remember that in Hebrew, it says that, for we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So this is not the Jesus of Hollywood who walks through the desert unscathed and untouched and comes out smelling nice and looking clean. This is not the Jesus of those who respond to the temptation story by saying that he was not really tempted, but set an example for us. These are the Christians who wish to protect Jesus from the trials and temptations and other difficulties common to humankind, for fear that convictions about his uniqueness will be eroded by such experiences. No. Jesus was tempted in his journey through the wilderness in every way, just as we are in ours. But Jesus is unique because of how he walked the journey and who he became and is. But I keep going back to, what did he do in the wilderness all that time? I guess he prayed. If he fasted for 40 days, he hallucinated, he slept. Unless he was really serious about fasting for 40 days, he looked for food, he wondered and he wandered. He must have been scared at times. He thought, he meditated, he was thirsty, he was hungry, he was cold, he was hot, because you do both in the desert. He felt lonely, he felt abandoned, he felt fearful. He thought about home, he thought about quitting, he thought about turning around. And he did all these things and more. And he did one more thing. Somehow he connected with God at such an incredibly deep level, right? That he became a new person. He became the Son of God. And that changed his whole perspective. And then I guess on day 40, he rolled up his sleeves, he walked out of the desert saying to himself and to God, whatever it takes, even if it takes my life in the end. I'm going to change people so that they in turn change people, so that we can change the world and its perverted understanding of love and what it means to be in a relationship with God. Together, we're going to make this right. Are you with me? All right, you're awful quiet. John Dominic Crossan was a Catholic monk and left the order, got married, and really a very thoughtful New Testament scholar. And he wrote a series of books. Actually, I just found out he's going to be at the Quaker at Pendle Hill for a class on the resurrection after Easter. But he wrote a little book. He tried to get at the very essence of what Jesus was saying, taking out all of the editorial comments, taking out of all the editorial comments made by the gospel writers and later on within the Christian church, and try to get back at what did this rabbi, this prophet, this son of God actually say. And he wrote this little book of what he felt were at the core of what he said. And I want to share with you some of the things, because they're very simple. So, Jesus' teachings, according to Crossan, set an example for all the world to see. The kingdom of God comes not at some future time. You cannot point out the sign and it's coming. The kingdom of God comes not at some special site. You cannot point out a place of its coming. The kingdom of God is already here among you. Now, out of the crowd, a woman shouted, "Fortunate the womb that bore you, the breast that nursed you." Back to the woman, Jesus replied, "Fortunate the ears that hear the word of God, the will that obeys the word of God." Purity and impurity is not what goes into the mouth. Purity and impurity is what comes out. Boy, we got a lot of people who need to hear that these days. Forgive the debt owed by another as God forgives that owed by you. The somebodies will be nobodies, and the nobodies will be somebodies. This one, first time I read it struck me. Only the destitute are innocent. Only those who have no bread have no fault. Only the despised are blameless. Love your enemy. We're still working on those. If someone strikes your right cheek, offer your left. If someone takes your coat, offer your suit. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, offer to go another. Save your life, lose your life. Lose your life, save your life. You cannot at the same time mount 2 horses. You cannot at the same time bend 2 bows. You cannot at the same time serve 2 masters. And lastly, we walk in the shadow of the cross. So, friends, today, let's enter the desert wilderness together, dripping wet from the baptismal font, if we can still remember that, dripping wet from the promises we make at the font and every Sunday morning. This Lenten season, let us accompany Jesus in the desert wilderness. Let us reflect on his teachings. Let us reflect on his revolutionary words, actions, and love. This Lenten season, let us be changed so that we in turn can change others, and together we might change the world. Amen.